Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey y'all, I'm Joe Tower, and you're listening to Tales of Our Folly, a storytelling podcast. Each episode, we will bring you one new story recorded live at one of our past shows in Los Angeles. Every month, we'll also bring you one bonus episode, a one-on-one interview with a local storytelling all-star to discuss story, folly, and how they both play a role in all of our lives. Each of our live shows is a lineup of four storytellers sharing one true personal story in front of a live audience about the shame and embarrassment of being a human. I'm the host and creator, and if you're ever in the LA area, check out our Facebook page or our website at www.talesofourfolly.com for updates on upcoming event dates and times. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Pippa, Spotify, or wherever you download your damn podcasts. If you've got a story you'd like to tell in spoken or written form, email us at talesofourfolly@gmail.com. All right, enough chit chat. On with the folly. Prepare yourselves for a real deal here, guys, because we're bringing you a story from our July show this last summer, which featured another all-star cast of badass ladies. One such badass is actress, writer, director, filmmaker, multi-hyphenate Amy Hite, who is unarguably the funniest person I've ever known, and also unarguably one of my best pals. Amy stepped to the mic with a story about being a big fish in a small pond and the confidence that helps create that can fuck you when you really gotta step it up. Y'all, this is Amy Hite's Tale of Our Folly.
Hey guys, how are you? Thank you for coming out tonight. If I'm backlit, you can see through this dress. Nobody can tell. I don't need to know that. So I was thinking about what to talk about for tonight, and I started thinking about what I was like as a kid, and when I was a kid, I had sort of two defining character traits. Giant ego and insane ambition. Basically, I was the most talented person who had ever lived through all of space and time, and I was going to be a big star. And, this is Los Angeles, so I'm like assuming some other people in this room are like, but in a like North Carolina town, like 10,000 people, everyone's like, oh, she's different. And I was, and I loved it. And it started early. I did a whole show about this, but you may recall when I was 11, I auditioned for The Sound of Music. That was my first like community theater play.
Yeah.
Thank you, fans. But I got one of the kid parts, which I knew going in was probably what was going to happen. But when I auditioned, I sang the main song, I sang The Sound of Music, because in my mind I was like, I can knock the shit out of Fräulein Maria. Okay, I know I could. If these people would just open their minds for like half a fucking second, I could play the shit out of this part. Not for a minute, thinking about the optics of like being in a community theater audience and watching an 11-year-old girl a wedding scene with like the 40-year-old realtor playing Captain Von Trapp. No, didn't. Who cares? Open your eyes, people. But they just weren't ready for it. And that kind of continued for a few more years. I would get up, march up on that stage every time they had an audition. I would be like, I am your Audrey in Little Shuffle. All right! Frozen, Emily. No denying it. And they were like, you're 14. Go home. Like, well, fine. Yes. Fine. When I should pursue Magnolias, I was like, I'm not going to try for Shelby. Like, I know my limits. Shelby probably can't have braces. Okay, fine. But now, guys, what's up? And I would go, and every time, they would be like, thank you for coming in. Just not ready. And I was like, fine, I will come see this production and I will have notes. I did. So in high school, really, though, was like where it really started to lake. Like, and my friend Bree is from here in the audience. We did it together in high school.
Yeah, girl.
She was there every step of the way. I started getting good parts like pretty early. And then I just wrote it. And so by the time I was a senior, my ego was just like, out of fucking. When we auditioned for the spring for the musical my senior year, the drama teacher just called me by my character name like during the audition. She was like, great job, Joey. Adelaide, get up here. And I was like, that's right, I got the part. Here's your guys and dolls, everyone. I got most talented. there was no moment of like, that's cool, that's nice. I was like Olivia Pope, like stomping down the hall of the White House, like, don't waste my time with this news! Things I already knew! I'm very busy! Yes, that's a photo shoot! And then backstage door, I signed my name on the door and like put the years that I was there. And you might be like, that sounds like graffiti, what you did. And it was, but I was like, I'm raising the property value. Like if you went to a random high school in New Jersey and you saw Meryl Streep's name like backstage, because that seems like something she would do, right? Like, just like, write your name on the fucking wall. You'd be like impressed. And I was like, just you guys. And our drama teacher kept it. She was like, I don't know, this one's crazy. She might fucking pull it out. So that's where I was. And then around that time, I also started getting asked to like sing around town for stuff. My friend Dan and I sang at our old English teacher's wedding. We each got paid $100, which was awesome until we found out that we each had to sing like 5 songs, which, you know, the price per song is super low. But the early 90s, so the highlight, I'm pretty sure if you'll just picture like 2 40-year-olds, like second chance at love, like second marriage for both of them, their kids are here, they've said their vows, they're going up to light the unity candle, and then there's just 2 teenagers off to the side singing A Whole New World. I don't know, it was a simpler time, right? Shout out to the Gen Xers in the room. And that was fun, and that went well. But I knew I was like more of a solo artist. No offense, Dan. So then I got asked to sing for the March of Dimes spring luncheon, and I was like, here we go. My friend Brenda, I had done community theater with her, and she's a sweet lady, and she asked me to come and sing. And the theme of this luncheon was like Heroes Among Us, and she asked me to sing Hero. I'm like, here.
Oh shit.
Yep. And I was like, done. This like couldn't be more on. I love Mariah Carey. Like, yes, technically she does have a better voice than me. Like, her range is slightly higher, but this is a song that I can like hit all the notes on. And I'll come sing at the fucking lunch. Yeah. Okay, you're welcome. So I go and I'm sitting there how I imagine like Mariah, like when she gets paid $1 million to go sing at some Sultan's wedding or whatever. I'm just like sitting there listening to the speeches. Like, I still to this day don't know what the March of Dimes does, but I was just like, taking sips of water. Like, and then it was my turn and I got up there and I was like, here we go. In my like Liz Claiborne separate, I was like holding the mic. Like, looking at all these like nice, like middle-aged volunteers. I was like, this is nice thing. You guys do this thing, whatever this thing is. This is how I do. Like entertaining the troops, you know. This is my charity. And they had backing track, and they had a cassette with the backing track. And think about this, it's like 1994. They must have had to order away for that shit. I don't even know how long that took. But I'm up there, I'm ready, and the song starts. And I just want to put a pin in that for a second and go back and tell you that I actually had three defining character traits in the job. Giant ego, insane ambition, extreme laziness. I didn't have to work hard for any of that shit. Like, I was naturally good at all of that stuff. And when you grow up getting praised for shit that you're, like, naturally good at, you just don't develop a work ethic, ever. Because there's no need. Why would you? It's cool that there are people out there that work hard. Like, if you need to, good for you. But that's not my journey. My journey is I show up and people clap, and then I just do it again. So when she asked me to sing Hero right here, I was like, oh yeah, I know that song. And I didn't take one more second. I think about it for one more second until I was standing in front of this audience full of people in the backing track. Guess what I found out, guys? I knew the first verse, easy, great. I knew the chorus, because easy again. And then that second verse came up, and I was like, whoa. I don't know. And I hadn't written down the lyrics, looked them up, printed them out, brought them with me, nothing. It wouldn't have even been that hard. I could have just been paying attention, because I don't know if you remember, there was a year in like the early 90s when the only two songs on the radio were Hero and Shoot. And I couldn't just have it in my hypnosis, and I still didn't fucking do it. I was lazy. Somewhere along the way I heard like, oh, Meryl Streep reads her scripts once and then she memorizes them. And I was like, yeah, that sounds right. That sounds great. I just showed up, didn't know a fucking word. And it was such a slap on the face. And it was, first of all, like, humiliating. And then it was just such a slap on the face of me standing there, looking at all these people, seeing the pity, like, coming off of them. And just, it was just this thought of, like, who the fuck do I think I am? Why do I think that I know everything that there is to know, like, forever in the universe? Why would I not take 2 minutes and like learn this song? Why do I think it's cool not to care? Cool not to have to work for something that makes it like less of an accomplishment or whatever. This is bullshit. I don't want to be this person. And please know that while all this was happening in my head, what was happening on the outside was a backing track was playing and I was standing at a podium going, I'm sorry. Brenda has sent me flowers to say thank you.
Oh.
Yes, and this is like, I said this is the South, I just want to be clear, this is not like Southern white lady fuck you flowers, because there are Southern women will spend $75 on the bouquet to tell you to fuck yourself. We have the tools, guys, we don't know how to do another one. Brenda was a nice person. She was a person who volunteered. She's a hero.
No.
She was just nice, and it sort of put things in perspective for me. It made me realize that, like, yes, that was a shitty thing to do, but I'm not the worst person in the world, and I didn't ruin these people's lunch. They probably had a nice dinner. They like gossip. They saw some shitty teenager like blow a pop song, and then they got on with their day. Like, they didn't ruin anybody's life. But it was good. It was really like a good learning experience for me, and one of those like deep teenage humiliations that like formed the basis of my character. And you know, I think about it sometimes when I get like a little too comfortable in my life, I start feeling a little too entitled, or I feel like I don't have to work that hard, you know. And it doesn't happen as much anymore, but it does come on the radio every once in a while, and I always leave it on. I want to know what those lyrics are, because truly, I never learned them. But I just think about that teenager, and I think about the poor people who had to deal with her. And I just sit in my car, and I just say, I'm sorry.
This podcast is produced and hosted by me, Joe Tower, and executive produced and edited by Brian Weiss. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and rate us below. If you hated what you heard, let us know what we can do better. And also, go fuck yourself. For all other info, please visit www.talesofourfolly.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.